We invite you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Romans, chapter number 8. The book of Romans, chapter number 8, a very rich chapter in the workings of God for the believer and in the believer. And we're all familiar with verse 28, for we know that all things work together for the good to them who love the Lord, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And we rely on that verse a great deal and trust that the Lord will help us that we might yield ourselves to his providences and his good graces. We want to look at part of verse 29, the next verse. For whom he did foreknow, that is, God knew and foreloved his people from before the foundation of the world. For whom he did foreknow, that same crowd, he did also, and here's what we want to look at, predestinate, to mark off ahead of time, that same crowd to be conformed to the image of his Son. Now, there are various degrees of sanctification. There are those people who have only recently been born again, and they don't have the same degree and quality, quantity of sanctification that those who have been walking with God for a long time have. So we understand and know that God is going to make sure that in the final result, when we all come to the end of time and the beginning of eternity, and we're made to be like him, God has got his purposes set out ahead of time as to what we're all going to be like. Nobody's going to be any different from being conformed to the image of his dear Son. Now, that's an absolute. There's no way the devil or sin or anybody can mess that up. God has predestinated, marked it off ahead of time. The football coach goes out to the football field before the game, before the practice sessions, and they get the line, and they mark off the sidelines, they mark off all the yard lines, and they mark off the goal lines, and it's all marked off ahead of time. It's predestinated. It's destined to be done like this because they have pre-done it. They have done it ahead of time. So God hath predestinated us to be conformed to the image of his dear Son. Here's how the Amplified Bible reads. He hath foreordained them to be molded into the image of his Son and share inwardly his likeness. I like that. Not just, okay, he was 5 feet, whatever, and we all going to be that. No. He's talking about spiritual likeness. We're going to be molded into his inner likeness. So let me finish reading the verse. For whom he, God, did foreknow, did forelove, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. Before the beginning and the words let there be or in the beginning were penned, this was already laid out. And what was laid out? The very end. Whom he did foreknow before time began, he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son when time shall be no more. So this thing covers from the before the beginning to after the ending. And it says that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Christ is the pattern. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 21. 1 Peter 2, 21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us. Listen. Leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. We sing that song, I must needs go home by the way of the cross. There's no other way but this. I shall ne'er get sight of the gates of light if the way of the cross I miss. Christ went home by the way of the cross, so shall we. The book of the Revelation said, these are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. Christ is the pattern for all of us to be able to come to God. It's that way. They predestinated to be conformed to the image of his dear Son. Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 5. Philippians 2, 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We are to think like he thought. We are to have an attitude towards things that he had. If he was opposed to something, so should we be. If he said these things were those things that must be believed, then that's what we ought to believe. So we are conformed to the image of his dear Son. You say, well, it's predestinated. Yep. But that doesn't mean you don't have to get in here and work it out. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Well, it's just like sanctification. You say, well, I don't have to do nothing. Sanctification's going to wind up in glorification. I'll be glorified. Yep, that's exactly right. But that doesn't mean that you don't have to strive to enter in. That doesn't mean that you don't have to believe. It doesn't mean that you don't have to walk circumspectly, that you don't have to take Christ as your example and as your pattern, as well as your sacrifice. Because Christ died for us, we shall all be brought into the realm of glory before Almighty God. That's the truth. But through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. It's grace that led me safe thus far, and grace will lead me on. I still got to exert myself, and I need to make sure that this is a goal that I seek after with all the effort and energy that God grants me. So being conformed to the image of his dear Son doesn't mean that you don't have to do anything. God's just going to throw a switch and you're all of a sudden going to be glorified. You don't get glorified except through tribulation. Tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, as the love of God is spread abroad in our hearts. It's a successive thing. Tribulation works patience. Patience works hope. You have to go through these things. So you say, well, I'm predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son. That's not something to make you lazy and sit back and say, well, God's going to do it all. That's something to give you hope. God granted hope, faith. Hope that God is going to do this and that my efforts are not going to be in vain. Therefore, I have a responsibility to search the scriptures and find out that which Christ liked, that which Christ disliked, that which Christ had a warning against. I am to study the life of Jesus Christ and pattern my life thereafter. And that's what we want to do. Look at some of the things that Christ acted towards. I'm fumbling all over the place. We're going to look at the life of Jesus. First John chapter 2 and verse 6. Two more verses before we get started. First John 2, 6. He that saith, he abideth in him. If any person says, I abide in Christ, he ought also to walk even as he walked. Dear soul, you can't walk in sin and darkness and say you're a Christian. you're going to have the same attitudes and the same relations to the same things that Jesus did after his pattern. We are going to be what Christ was in responsibility and relationship to the things of this world. And we want to look at some of those things and see what it was that caused Jesus to have adverse feelings. I hate to say it that way. I guess that's all right. Adverse sayings, at least, to things that bothered him. And I want us to, and I have looked at this myself as I studied it out. I applied it to my own heart. And I want us to look at this thing and say, I need to have that attitude towards that circumstance as well. How can I prove that I'm going to be conformed to the image of God's Son? How do I know that I can make my calling and election sure if I do these things? If I find in me the same attitude towards things that Christ had, then I know that I am being conformed, I'm being predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son. I've got to come up with these attitudes. So 1 John 2:6, he that saith, if you have a testimony, I abide in him, I'm a Christian. Well, let me see how you walk. He ought also to walk even as Christ walked. And of course, 1 John 3:2, just turn over a page. It said, beloved, now are we the sons of God. Right where you are, exactly the way you look, with the same attitude you've got right now. If you're born again, you are a child of God. And he says, but it doth not yet appear what we shall be. I don't know what the glorified body is going to be like. I will have a new body. We will be changed in the likeness, in the twinkling of an eye. We shall all be changed. God tells us that. I believe that. We believe that. That's what the Lord has established in us, that hope that we shall be like him. But it says, right now, I'm a son of God. Yeah, but right now, I'm making mistakes. Right now, I have patterns of sin still in my life that I needed to work against and get rid of and to straighten things out and become more pure. That's sanctification. Strive to enter in. So right now, I'm a child of God. And way out yonder, it does not yet appear what we shall be. But between here and quote unquote way out yonder, there's a lot of work for me to do. Dear soul, we need to understand that there's a responsibility of man. There's a responsibility of the Christian. We need to get rid of things that displease the Holy Spirit within us. We need to enhance those things that are blessed things to the Holy Spirit within us. And we need to walk more circumspect. We need to walk more like Christ in the center of his will. Beloved, now are we the sons of God? You can give your testimony and say, I've been saved. That's true. But do you know what you're going to be like when you're glorified? You say, no. Well, what about between right now when you say, I'm a Christian, and then you say, we're going to be in eternal glory and be made like Christ? Right. But what about between this and that? What about between the time you say, I'm a Christian, and you're glorified? We got work to do. Well, what are we to be like? We can't have this cookie-cutter religion that just stamps us all out in the same image. We're not striving to be like our brothers and sisters. We're not striving to be like, you know, our religious leaders. Our strife is to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we need to be like. He's the pattern on the mount. If you don't look like Jesus and you don't have the spirit of holiness in you and walk like he walked, How are the angels going to know to bring you into the kingdom as they are sent to gather up the wheat and bring it to the barn? How are they going to do that? They're going to be looking for everything that looks like Jesus. So we've got work to do. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, right? It does not yet appear what we shall be, right? But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. I will finally be able to be glorified in the same way that I was justified. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee and manifest forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him, John 2:11. They saw Christ, his glory was manifest, justification was brought about. He that seeth the Son and believeth on him hath life. So I am to continue to look at him. And in the finality, when we see him finally in his eternal glory, not just in his mediatorial glory, like he sits right now on the right hand of the Father. He's more glorious than he's ever been sitting there, but he's yet to be made more glorious than that. So when he is finally made God all in all, and we see him in his final glory, we shall be like him. For seeing him is that which draws you into the life and light of the person of God. So we have a responsibility. We need to get about the things of God and do those things that we should do. So our question is, then what should be our mindset? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You need to think about your parents like he thought about his parents. You need to think about Pharisees and scribes and hypocrites like he thought about them. You need to think about your family like he thought about his family. And we're going to find out if we study this thing out that we have a, I don't know how to say it, we have a small image of what Christianity should be. We are more satisfied with the least amount of spirituality than any generation has ever been. You don't have to be anything special. It's all of grace. Salvation's of the Lord. Yes, it is. But it doesn't leave out the responsibility of you having to walk as he walked. So we need to look at these things and see what is our mindset. And the thing that got me started, the thing that the Holy Spirit got me started thinking about this message was in our last Lord's Day message on my father's business. So let's go back and start there in Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. And he asked the question in Luke 2:49 that shows you that he was disappointed with Mary and Joseph. Now, Mary and Joseph were doing that which was prescribed to them by Moses' law. They were carrying him up to Jerusalem during the Passover to present him to the Lord. Check. Well, we go to church. We go to present ourselves before the Lord. But dear soul, there were some problems that they had that a spiritual-minded Christ question them about. Do you think that, you know, getting a shower and getting your Bible and putting on nice, clean, maybe only Sunday-only clothing and going to a particular place at a particular time, a particular kind of building, and going through a particular kind of routine, you think that that's holiness? No. Every religion on earth, no matter how ungodly, even satanic they might be, they have their religious routines. So when we've done all that, we hadn't done anything yet. We have to have a spiritual mindedness. Now, Jesus is in the temple. He's 12 years old. He's asking and answering questions that the rabbis were astonished at. And Mary and Joseph come after having searched for him for 3 days. And Mary really pours out the guilt on him. Son, why hast thou dealt thus with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. Verse 48. What was his answer? He was stunned that this was their situation. Listen what he asked in verse 49. And he said unto them, to Mary and Joseph, how is it that ye sought me? Dear soul, he was amazed that to them he was lost. It was the other way around. He said that there had been enough of the revelation of the Holy Spirit manifest in their lives that they should have a clear understanding of what Christ is and what he does. He was surprised at spiritual ignorance. All right, let this mind be in you. Number one, we should be surprised at spiritual ignorance. How is it that you sought me? There should have been no searching for that which was lost, because you know me. You should know that this is where I would be, because I must be about my Father's business. And that's the next thing he asked. How is it that ye sought me? First question. Second question. Wist ye not, did you not know, that I must be about my Father's, capital F, my Father's business? Now there's a father in verse number 48. Mary said, behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. That word father is a little F. She was talking about Joseph. Her mind was strictly on the natural. It was strictly on the physical birth. It was strictly upon those things that are needful for us to attend to, but not at the expense of the Holy Spirit. Why didn't you know where I would be? Why didn't you not know that I must be about my Father's business? You say, well, that's kind of rough of him. No, it's not really. Go back up to verse number 40 of Luke chapter 2. Same chapter. Go back up to Luke chapter 2 and verse 40. And the child grew. This is after they had brought him to the temple on the eighth day. And just read on with me. And from that time that he was just a baby, an infant, and waxed or grew strong in spirit. He's going to grow up physically? Yep. But the accent and the emphasis is upon the development of the spiritual man. And that's the way it ought to be with us. And the child grew and waxed, or grew, became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom. The Bible said, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally, and he upbraideth not. What does that mean? He won't make fun of you, or he won't give you any disdain, or give you any hard time about why don't you know this. He's liberal with his wisdom. Just ask. So we need to grow in wisdom. And the grace of God was upon him. Now, verse 40, the child grew, all right? Read on down. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. Well, which year was it that we're talking about? Verse 42. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. Well, how long does verse 40 imply? 12 years. They saw this child unlike every other child on earth, not just unlike their other children, but unlike any human being on earth, grow in the Spirit and have the Holy Spirit fill him with wisdom, insomuch that the learned rabbis were being catechized by him and taught by a 12-year-old child. That's a lot of evidence. This child is not the same as any other child. His birth was not like any other birth. It's amazing the things that Mary and Joseph had revealed to them by angels and the prophecies and so forth, the shepherds and the wise men and all of that, and still they don't know where to find him. That's why Jesus was amazed. How is it that you sought me? Why is it that it's an issue that you thought I was lost? I wasn't lost. You were the ones that got so encased in fellowship with the kinfolks and acquaintances and having a big time and going up to Jerusalem and then going back down to Nazareth that you left me behind. So let me ask you something. Why did you not know that I must be about my Father's business? This whole, why are we not astounded and frustrated at and surprised at spiritual ignorance? There has been nothing that God has left out for us to be able to walk with God and to do as he has done, as in that 1 John 2:6, he that saith he abideth in him also to walk as he walked. Well, I don't know how to do that. Do you not have the completed scriptures? Yes. 66 books. They're not going to be any more. This is everything anybody has ever had. In fact, those people back in this day only had the Old Testament. We got the fullness, everything. It's complete. We got that. The Holy Spirit, we're not waiting on the Spirit, the promise of the Father. He's been here for 2,000 years. Do we not have pastors and teachers? Has not God given gifts unto men that he has sent forth teachers and preachers and evangelists and so forth of his word to give us understanding? And do we not only have those outside teaching us, but that inside, which is the Holy Spirit, who himself will guide you into all truth. Yes. So Jesus was surprised at spiritual ignorance. That doesn't seem to be a situation among religion in America today. We're actually surprised at any spirituality. We're surprised at anybody showing any spirituality. Well, as long as she can sing that song and hit that high note, fine. That's great. That's good. She's a good Christian. As long as he can get up there and give us a good devotion before the preacher gets up and he dots every I and crosses every T, check. That's fine. As long as we hear some kind of religiously oriented lesson or lecture from one who is in the pulpit, and we say, well, you know, I didn't know that before. That's pretty good. Well, that's a good, slap him on the back, shake his hand as you go out the door and say, that's a good message, preacher. Check. But where's the spirituality? Where are those that know where Jesus is? Where are those that are not just walking along with us? Boy, wasn't that a good trip to Jerusalem this year? Yeah, it gets better every year. I can't wait to next year. And you know, Aunt Sally baked that special dessert that we like. She baked us a whole case of fried pies. My choice, okay? And we're just going to have a big time at the campfire tonight, and we're going to pass these fried pies. And we're just going to have a big time. But where's Jesus? Nobody was even thinking about where's Jesus. He was doing that which his Father had ordained him to do. He was involved in his Father's business. What is the Father's business? This is the will of God, that you might believe on me. That's what he said. So we don't seem to be surprised at spiritual ignorance. We're actually surprised at any spirituality at all. What a shame. So they had 12 years to watch this child grow, wax strong in spirit, and filled with the wisdom of God, and the grace of God was upon him. 12 years. He wasn't like little Johnny next door, little Sally down the street. He was different. There was something different about him. And also, what about in Luke 1, just on the other page, Luke chapter 1 and verse number 26, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, Mary had that to give her to understand that Christ was different. In Elizabeth's 6 months of her pregnancy, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth. What? There's somebody at the door. Well, who is it? I don't know. I've never seen anybody like him. Sir, who are you and what do you want? My name is Gabriel. I stand in the presence of Almighty God. What? This ain't the Fuller Brush Man, and this is not Amazon delivering you a package. This is one of the most mighty spiritual entities there was in eternity. God sent him. He was on a mission from God himself, and he was sent from the throne of God, wherever that is, and he didn't need GPS, and zeroed in on a city of Nazareth, the city of Nazareth. And he said, I've got a message to a virgin, espoused to a man named Joseph, and her name is Mary. What? You got all of this, and you see him grow 12 years in spiritual development, and you still don't know who he is, and you still fuss at him about being unkind to his father, Joseph, and to me, and you made us seek you sorrowingly. And he said, why did you do that? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business? He was surprised at spiritual ignorance. We should be surprised, have this mind in us, which is also in Christ Jesus, at spiritual ignorance. First of all, in ourselves. We have developed ourselves as Bible students. We have studied. We have been self-taught by the Holy Spirit in ourselves, and searching the commentaries and getting instruction from great men of God down through the centuries. But do we have any degree of spirituality that relates to that, that is comparative to that? Oh, my soul. The angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. And all you Catholics, listen to this. Blessed art thou among women, not above women. She's not to be worshipped. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Yes, give her the due. Give her credit for the due, for what she's due. I'll get it out in a minute. But she's not one who intercedes for us. According to Romans chapter 8, this same chapter we started with, only the person of the Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit are those who are mediators for us before Almighty God. He says in verse 26, the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And in verse 34, it is Christ who also maketh intercession for us. So Romans 8:26 and 34 said the only two authorized intercessors for us are the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ. Mary's not mentioned. And she prayed that she seeks for God, her Savior. I bless the Lord God, my Savior. She was a sinner like everybody else. There's nothing special about Mary other than she was chosen to bear the the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's great. I don't want to take anything away from her, but I don't want you adding anything to her that causes Jesus Christ to be diminished. He is the intercessor. The Holy Spirit is the intercessor, not Mary. Blessed art thou among women. This is Gabriel talking. He stands in the presence of God. You know those seraphim that stand and shield their eyes with two of their wings, and two of their wings they fly, and two of their wings they cover their comely parts, their feet? Yes. He stood right there with them. The brightness of the glory of God shined upon him, and he was sent to her. That don't happen every day. She had this happen. So Jesus was more than proper in his question, "Wished ye not that I must be about my Father's business? Why did you think I was lost? You should have known exactly where I was. You saw me grow in wisdom and in knowledge for 12 years. You had Anna, I'll get it right in a minute. I messed it up last time too. Anna and Simon in the temple prophesying and telling everybody that I was Messiah and that it was in me that salvation would come to everyone that believed in Jerusalem. Nobody else had that. Then you had the shepherds come. And they came and visited when Christ was in the manger. And they went away praising God, and the angel that came and spoke to them was suddenly encompassed with myriads of angels. Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host. And these shepherds just could not believe it. And here they come, and you got the testimony of the shepherds. And what is Jesus called? The good shepherd, the great shepherd, the chief shepherd. I am the good shepherd. I give my life for the sheep. Then should not that give you some understanding? You see these physical things, shepherds, and you do not come to understand that I am the good shepherd, the chief shepherd. Dear soul, Jesus Christ was surprised and he was disappointed at spiritual ignorance. Why didn't you know that I must be about my Father's business? And you know what it says? In verse 50 of Luke chapter 2, "And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them." I'm so glad that the person of the Lord Jesus Christ had the person of God the Father and the power of the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, to commune with and to comfort him, because he sure didn't get anything from those who were favored to see things and hear things that no other person in the world had ever heard. These are the kinds of things that are supernatural. Well, let me ask you this. Why do we not consider our involvement in religion to necessitate a supernatural quality? Dear soul, if it's not supernatural, then we're just going through the motions of man-made religion. It's just social religion. Well, give money to this because those people over there, they're starving. You know, let's do this so we can send a missionary over there that we don't have anybody in that part of the world. Let's send some. If that's all it is, then all we should just shut this thing down and put all this effort and energy and money into the Red Cross. That's what they do. My words are spirit and they are life. John 6:63. Then why can we not be surprised and disappointed in spiritual ignorance? There was prophecy that she had. Hebrews. No, don't turn to Hebrews. I got it wrong. Isaiah. Don't even sound like Hebrews, does it? Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14. Isaiah 7 and 14, a well-known prophecy. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. You want a sign from God? All right, here it is. Behold, a virgin shall, number one, conceive. She didn't have a man. There was not a man to enter into her. So she could not conceive. And then said, not only shall she conceive, but bear, not a child, but a son. This virgin, without any involvement of a man, is going to conceive, have that life to appear within her, and she will not have a miscarriage, and she will not have a daughter. She shall conceive and bear a son. What did Mary do without a man? Seeing that I know not a man, the Holy Spirit shall overshadow thee, and that holy thing that shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. That's what the angel said. That's what happened to her. And when she went to visit her cousin Elizabeth, who was going to have John the Baptist, the babe in her womb leapt for joy. And so we see she had all of this. But by the time he was 12, the effect of it was all gone. It reminds me of Galatians, the book of Galatians. I'll find it in a minute. In verse chapter number 3. And this is hard on me, because I'm applying it to me, but it's hard on me in that I'm having to say it to you, and I don't like having to, as it were, get on to you. But it ain't me, it's the Lord. And I'm trying to make sure that you understand that I need this as much as any of you. Galatians chapter 3, verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? How is it that you are not doing now that which you had set before you with great evidence, that Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth among you? This only would I learn of you. Receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? How did you start out? Was it legal? Well, we've got to do this, we can't do that. Or was it the Holy Spirit coming into you to birth you into a new creature and make all things new? Are you so foolish? This is verse 3 of Galatians chapter 3. Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Dear soul, we started out... She had Gabriel, of all things, of all creatures, to come and knock on her door and come and speak to her personally. Gabriel, before whom the Lord God liveth, before whom I stand. He stood in the presence of God, and he was sent to stand in the presence of this little unmarried woman. Whew. Shepherds came. Wise men came. They shook up the whole city of Jerusalem. They troubled all of Jerusalem and Herod with them. Men, rich kings, coming with a great caravan People were astounded as they come filing into the streets of Jerusalem. And it was all to see Mary's child. And now you say, why are you giving me and your dad such a hard time? And Jesus said, didn't you know I must be about my Father's business? He was astounded and disappointed at spiritual ignorance. Oh, my soul. Let me read you verse 4 of Galatians 3. Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? Have you started out in the Spirit? Did you not have all these things? Maybe not exactly the same things that Mary had happened to her, but supernatural things nonetheless. Things that you experienced but you could not explain. Workings of the Holy Ghost. That only those who also had the workings of the Holy Ghost within them could perceive and understand. And those were the only ones you could share this with. With any degree of mutual understanding. But what about now? Well, we've had a lot of problems. We lost money in the stock market. We got this pandemic. We got people, fussing and fighting in the political arena, and our families all tore up. Some of them Democrats, some of them Republicans, and some of them just idiots. And we got a mess. You don't understand. I understand. But there's so, it doesn't matter. There's nothing that can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. That's what the Apostle Paul said. For I am persuaded that neither life nor death or any of this can separate us from the love of God. And that's in this same chapter 8 of Romans. For I am persuaded that neither death, somebody died in our family, that shouldn't keep you from walking with God, nor life. We had a great grandbaby born, nor angels. Gabriel come knocking on, don't matter. Or principalities, great and mighty workings of the demonic forces, and nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come that we might dread. Oh, I hope that don't happen. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So, there's nothing, there's no excuse for having started out in the Spirit and now to cool down, back off, and say, well, you just don't understand, things not like they used to be. Well, that's true. Things are not like they used to be as far as our spirituality. Did we not know that he must be about his Father's business? She had all of this. No, I don't know of anybody else in the entire human history that had as much evidence as Mary and Joseph did concerning who Christ was. And that was the issue. It wasn't where he was and where they were not, or where they were and where he was not. It was not a matter of, as they say, logistics. It wasn't a matter of them being in one place and him being it was a matter that he is God manifest in the flesh. And he said, you knew, you were told more than anybody else who I was. And now you are fussing at me when you should have known where I was and there should have been no need to seek me. I wasn't lost. Y'all were the ones that run with religion, and I'm the one that stayed with the Spirit. This grieves me so bad. I see myself, and I see this nation, I see religion in this day in this same shape. We started out walking with God. We were all excited about it. Now, tears, splits, you know, people lying on one another, tearing up everything they can, destroying everything. Where is the spirituality in that? Well, it's the Spirit, but it ain't the Holy Spirit. So we see that all of this took place, and it was that which surprised and disappointed the Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 12 and verse 38. John chapter 12 and verse 38. I'm going to read 37. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. Gotten dull. They got tired of it. They got used to it. That the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report? That's in Isaiah 53:1. And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because Isaiah said again in Isaiah 6 and verse 10, He, God, hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. These things said Isaiah when he saw the glory and spake of them. Have you stopped seeking for the glory? Have you stopped seeing the glory? Is it routine now? Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall grow cold. Has your love for God grown cold because of the iniquity of this nation, because of the iniquity of this religion in our nation? Because other people have just slacked off and they don't have any spirituality at all? Then, dear soul, if you can back off from the spirituality of this, you have not been predestinated to be conformed to the image of his dear son. Because if we have been predestinated to be conformed to the image of his dear son, we would be being predestinated. We would be being converted. We would be being conformed to the image of his dear son. This message would bother you so much, it would bring forth not legal religious conviction, but spiritual conviction. Father, I remember when I was more involved in the things of the Holy Ghost and the Spirit, and I'm not so much now. Oh, my soul, I think our time is gone. I think I've used up all my time according to my watch. I hope I said it right. Nevertheless, we're going to come back, Lord willing, in our second message and try to look at some more things that disappointed the Lord Jesus Christ and see, why don't they disappoint me? Why don't they upset me? And I trust that God will help us. That's all I want to do, is help me and to help you to become more spiritually minded and walk as he walked. God bless you.